Chapter 7. Who Stole the Tarts? The King and the Queen of Hearts were sitting on their throne when Alice arrived, with a great crowd around them. All sorts of little birds and animals, as well as the whole pack of cards. The knave was standing in front of them in chains, with a soldier on each side to guard him. And near the king was the White Rabbit, with a trumpet in one hand and a piece of paper in the other. In the middle of the court was a table with a large dish of tarts on it. They looked so good that it made Alice very hungry to look at them. "I wish they'd finish the trial quickly," she thought, "and give out the refreshments." But there seemed to be no chance of this, so she began to look at everything around her to pass the time. Alice had never been in a court before, but she had read about them in books, and she was pleased to find that she knew the name of nearly everything there. "That's the judge," she said to herself, because of his large wig. The judge was the king, and he wore his crown over his wig, which did not look very comfortable. "And that's the jury box," thought Alice. "And those 12 creatures," she had to say creatures, because some of them were animals and some were birds. "I suppose they are the jurors." She said this last word 2 or 3 times to herself, being rather proud of it, for she thought that very few girls at her age knew the meaning of it.
"Herald, read the accusation," said the king.
The White Rabbit blew on the trumpet, and then looked at the paper and read,
"The Queen of Hearts, she made some tarts, all on a summer's day. The Knave of Hearts, he stole those tarts, and took them quite away." "Consider your verdict," the queen said to the jury.
"Not yet, not yet," the rabbit interrupted. "There's lots to come before that."
"Call the first witness," said the king,
and the White Rabbit blew on the trumpet and called out, "First witness." The first witness was the Hatter. He came in with a teacup in one hand and a piece of bread and butter in the other.
"I beg your pardon, Your Majesty," he began, "for bringing these in, but I haven't quite finished my tea."
"You should have finished," said the king. "When did you begin?"
The Hatter looked at the March Hare, who had followed him into the court arm in arm with the Dormouse.
14th of March, I think it was," he said.
15th,
said the March Hare.
16th,
added the Dormouse.
"Write that down,"
the king said to the jury, and the jury wrote down all 3 dates, and then added them up, and then reduced the answer to shillings and pence.
"Take off your hat,"
the king said to the Hatter.
"It isn't mine," said the Hatter.
"Stolen!"
the king exclaimed.
"I keep them to sell,"
the Hatter explained. "I've none of my own. I'm a Hatter."
"Give your evidence," said the king, "and don't be nervous, or I'll have you executed immediately."
This did not encourage the witness at all. He kept shifting from one foot to the other, looking nervously at the king and queen, and in his confusion he bit a large piece out of his teacup instead of the bread and butter. Just at this moment, Alice felt a very strange sensation. She realized that she was beginning to grow larger again.
"I wish you wouldn't squeeze so," said the Dormouse, who was sitting next to her. "I can hardly breathe."
"I can't help it," said Alice. "I'm growing."
"You've no right to grow here,"
said the Dormouse.
"Don't talk nonsense," said Alice.
"You know you're growing too."
"Yes, but I grow at a reasonable speed," said the Dormouse, "not in this ridiculous way."
And he got up and went to the other side of the court.
"Give your evidence,"
the king repeated angrily to the Hatter,
"or I'll have you executed."
"I'm a poor man," the Hatter began in a trembling voice, "and I had just begun my tea and everything was twinkling, and the March Hare said..."
"I didn't,"
the March Hare interrupted.
"You did,"
said the Hatter.
"I deny it,"
said the March Hare.
"He denies it,"
said the king.
"Well, anyway, the Dormouse said,"
the Hatter continued, looking around to see if the Dormouse would deny it too, but he denied nothing, being fast asleep.
"After that," continued the Hatter, "I cut some bread and butter."
"But what did the Dormouse say?"
one of the jury asked.
"I can't remember," said the Hatter.
The king sighed. Then he said,
"If that's all you know about it, you may leave."
And the Hatter quickly left the court.
"Call the next witness,"
said the king. The next witness was the Dormouse. It was fast asleep when they called its name, so they had to pick it up and carry it.
"Where were you when the tarts were stolen?"
asked the king. The Dormouse yawned and began to sing sleepily.
"Twinkle, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle."
The jury all began to write this down.
"Off with his head!"
shouted the queen.
"Really, dear, you must try to control your temper," whispered the king.
Meanwhile, the March Hare had taken the Dormouse back to its seat, where it curled into a ball and began to snore.
"Call the next witness,"
the king shouted. Alice watched the White Rabbit as he looked at the list, feeling curious to see who the next witness would be. "For they haven't got much evidence yet," she said to herself. Imagine her surprise when the White Rabbit read out, at the top of his tiny little voice, the name Alice!
"Here,"
cried Alice, completely forgetting how large she had grown in the last few minutes, and she jumped up so quickly that she knocked the whole jury box over, and all of the jurors fell onto the floor.
"Oh, I beg your pardon," she exclaimed,
and began helping them back into their seats.
"What do you know about this business?"
the Queen asked Alice.
"Nothing," said Alice.
"Nothing at all?"
asked the king.
"Nothing at all," said Alice.
"That's very important,"
the king said, turning to the jury. They were just beginning to write this down when the White Rabbit interrupted.
"Unimportant, your majesty means, of course." "Unimportant, of course, I meant,"
the king quickly said, and continued to himself.
"Important. Unimportant. Important. Unimportant."
As if he were trying which word sounded best. Some of the jury wrote down important and some unimportant. At this moment, the king, who had been looking at a large book, shouted,
"Silence!"
Then he read out from the book,
"Rule 42. All people more than a mile high must leave the court."
Everybody looked at Alice.
"I'm not a mile high," said Alice.
"Besides, that's not a regular rule. You invented it right now."
"It's the oldest rule in the book,"
said the king.
"Then it should be number one," said Alice.
The king turned white with anger and shut the book.
"Consider your verdict,"
he said to the jury in a low, trembling voice.
"No, no," said the queen. "Sentence first, verdict afterwards."
"Nonsense," said Alice loudly. "The idea of having the sentence first."
"Be quiet,"
shouted the queen, turning pale.
"I won't,"
said Alice.
"Off with her head,"
the queen shouted. Nobody moved.
"Who likes you?"
said Alice. She had grown to her full size by this time.
"You're nothing but a pack of cards."
When she said this, the whole pack rose up into the air and came flying down upon her. She screamed, half from fear and half from anger, and tried to hit them away, and found herself lying on the river bank, with her head in her sister's lap, who was gently brushing away some dead leaves that had fallen down from the trees onto her face.
"Wake up, Alice, dear," said her sister. "Oh, what a long sleep you've had."
"Oh, I've had such a strange dream," said Alice, and she told her sister as well as she could remember all the strange adventures that you have just been listening to. And when she had finished, her sister kissed her and said, "It was a strange dream, dear, certainly. But now, run in to have your tea. It's getting late." So Alice got up and ran off, thinking while she ran about what a wonderful dream it had been.